Oh, I suppose. They could be Dutch.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna's not here.
No.
Jenna is busy, busy, busy with...
Yes.
Fearless 5 is coming up.
Mm-hmm. And also Die Laughing.
Ever so increasingly. And so Jenna is away doing that. But that's okay. We have a special guest to take her place.
Yeah.
What's your name?
My name is Adam.
Hey, Adam.
Hello, Adam.
Hey.
Adam is replacing Jenna for the evening.
Yep. Just so, one.
Mm-hmm. Just one, yes. No, not a permanent fixture. All right, James.
Yes.
What are we drinking?
We are drinking an as heretofore unnamed beverage.
Ooh.
Yes, but it was suggested. It was just suggested as a list of ingredients. This
so it is now
a...
called the heretofore.
Ooh, yes. We'll all raise a heretofore.
Tell us what's in the heretofore.
These are a Minnesota-made ginger beer. By the brand name of Earl Giles Ginger Beer. It has a fun airplane on the can, which
Giles
is what...
Giles with a J or G?
G.
G.
Which is what sold me on it, the airplane.
Could be Giles.
Might be. Might be Earl Giles.
Or Heels.
It's like the difference between Jeff and Giff.
Or Giles. Also, the correct pronunciation is Heef.
Yes.
All right.
It's the G, like in Gigantic.
Which one of the three?
I love it.
Okay, so, anyway. And then lime juice and tonic.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
All right. One heretofore.
It's a good nose.
I like that. Mm.
It's got a good ginger to it.
Mm. Yeah. This is a pretty solid ginger beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like how the lime juice cuts it, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the tartness.
It is tart.
Yeah.
Speaking of beverages.
Yes.
I have put all of my various and sundry boozes in secondary. I have 10 gallons of cider over there in secondary, and they taste really nice and clean.
Excellent.
I'm really excited about it. And the mead.
And these are for an event.
The event is me drinking them.
Oh, well, very good.
If that's the event, then yes, they are for an event. But I have been... Oh, the mead. I've had this in my mind for a really, really long time, and it seems like it is fantastic. So I started with a regular mead base, just honey and water. And a couple weeks ago, I put in the chemical to stop the yeast and kill the yeast off. And yesterday... Yesterday I back sweetened with a little bit more honey, give it a little more sweetness.
Okay.
And then I steeped 2 ounces of tea.
Oh.
In there.
Wow.
It is a white chocolate pu'er tea. And it is, the tea is just, it's got this amazing aroma and this velvety feel on the tongue. And I was like, I really hope this tastes good in the mead. And I steeped it overnight. And then today, I transferred it into secondary, and I tasted a little bit. And
So it's kind of like a cold tea with honey.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
Smell, that kind of white, earthy white chocolate smell is just, so good. And then the honey is in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really good, you guys. I can't wait. So anyway, that's what I did.
That does sound exciting.
What did you do, James?
Okay, many things. I've been gone for a little while. This last week, pretty much the entire week, when you eat raw oysters, you roll
the... That was a turn.
You roll the dice.
Where is this going?
Both ends.
God.
Yeah, I was down and out for pretty close to a full week.
Oh, wow. No.
Because I chose to roll those dice 24 times. I had a lovely dinner with somebody, and the same person, by the way, who provided us the Bjork. I'm scrambling for the name of the tiny bottle of Bjork.
Ah, oh yes, okay,
yeah. So we each had 24 oysters. A piece. So
is the other person okay, or did you both?
She is okay now.
Oh, you both got hit.
Yes. And okay. That's how we know.
So where did these oysters come from and where should we not eat?
Well, the thing is, it's the ocean air and I've had their food before and been fine. And I've had raw oysters at the ocean air before and been fine. But also she called the manager and said, hey, by the way, this. Yeah. And they were like, well, you can talk to the CVC. And so fuck them.
Yeah,
that's the customer service response?
Apparently.
Okay, so
I still have yet to talk to them, but really if it takes me calling and talking to them...
I feel like the first person should have been an instant, oh god, we are so sorry, we'll double check all of our stock.
Yeah, at the very least. Or just like, tell us more information, or can we, you know...
What
just,
evening was this? What,
right.
You know,
No. So... I was hospitalized for a short period of time.
Wow.
Because I couldn't keep water in. So, that's a thing. And then, Saturday, I felt better. So it was the previous Sunday that happened. And then, on Saturday, I felt better and, went on adventures. And those adventures included finding out exactly how tiny my car is.
The answer is very.
Very. So Bryn and I went to go get some things. We picked up some equipment from IKEA and that kind of stuff for my kitchen that I...
IKEA.
It's oak and some pine and a handful of Norsemen. Okay. So we picked up IKEA stuff and... everything sort of fit in the car really well, except I bought a tabletop and so we were in a time crush because it was 9 and the last place we had to go for the evening closed at 9:30.
So you bought some rope and tied that fucker to the roof?
No, but that would have been a great plan. actually, I had rope, but I just didn't trust tying it to the roof.
Okay.
So because it's an L-shaped tabletop, we opened the box and crushed the open corner of the box.
Okay.
And it still wouldn't fit by, instead of this time, 5 inches... edgewise, it wouldn't fit by like 2. So then I was like, oh, fuck it. We're going to take this thing out of the box. Because now it's 9:09, right? And this Batman symbol shaped tabletop, right? We
Batman
pull it out.
It looks L-shaped.
It looks like.
Do you know what the Batman symbol looks like?
Maybe it's more of a Green Lantern style.
But it's
that's a circle.
L shape. What?
So it's imagine a square.
Okay.
Cut a rounded corner.
Yeah.
Off or you know like cut a round segment off of one corner and then cut a little jagged W out of the opposite corner. So it's kind of W bat shaped.
So you had the Wonder Woman symbol?
We discovered it's not exactly. But it's somewhere between the two.
Okay.
Anyway, so we didn't discover that the opposite corner was blank, had a little chop out of it for cords and things until we took it out of the box, and that was exactly the distance required to get it sideways into the car, at which point we went to close the doors, and nope. I had her close the door
on
her side.
Stop playing with my heart here, man.
And then I lifted it up, and she was like, there's no way that we can close the door. It's going to break the window. And I was like, so we roll down the window.
Oh, God.
So
for those of you who are not following along, this is Minnesota in February.
But it's Minnesota in February. So for that 5 minutes, it was 35 degrees or so, which was perfect for non-freeway travel. However, that left one of my windows open to go park at the Mall of America.
Oh, shit.
Right. Yeah. So I parked that side against a concrete wall. And then we ran because we had 5 minutes from the parking lot, maybe 7 to 8 minutes. We had 5 minutes once we got into the mall to make it to GameStop, which was up one floor and
so
around
this was
a corner.
An important stop is what you're saying.
Yes, yes. So we got there very quickly. Yeah, a little out of breath. Is there, do you have? We've been. There's a game, and they're like, yes.
Right. Can you be more specific?
Yeah, and we were. And so then Bryn bought the game that she was there for, and to commemorate the heist that we had just committed, I used my sort of near-field psychic powers to pick out a blind box figurine from an anime series that she likes, believing that box to contain her favorite character from the series out of all of the ones. And it did.
Oh, nice.
It did.
Good on you.
Yeah. We also picked out candy and then shared it with the people at GameStop. And then left. So
meanwhile, people at GameStop are like, "Why are you not getting the hell out of my store?"
Yeah.
No, there were still other people in
there.
Geez.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. So we felt a little more comfortable, but
okay.
Yeah.
In the movie of my head,
yeah, it's
like,
just us, and they're like
through the mall, and like as the portcullis thing, the slidey garage door.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
rage. Right. And we
rolls
like
rolls down, you do a slide right. underneath.
And
know?
my stocking cap, the link cap, falls off and I reach under it. Crap. Yeah, right, right. Yeah, and I grab an amiibo and jam it under the door.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Right. That. But sure. No.
It's canon now.
We were I want to say like 10 feet away, and I was like, shit, we have 1 or 2 minutes left at most. And then we saw two customers just casually stroll in there, and I was like, "Oh, those poor fucks." Well, at least we won't be the last people in there,
yeah.
And we weren't. No, yeah, it was a solid time, and yeah. Then after we got out to the car, I was like, "Yeah, this figure is for you, and we're gonna find out if it's you know the one that you want." And it was,
yay!
Yeah, just to commemorate the heist, yeah.
So that all happened at 9:30,
right?
Which seems like a reasonable time for the mall to close.
Yes.
However, did you know that the Mall of America actually closes at 6 p.m. on Wednesdays?
That's early.
It's very early. I found this out on New Year's Day because New Year's Day seems like a good time. All your kids are out of school to go and enjoy some time at the Mall of America.
Did it close at 6 because it was New Year's Day? Or
that's just was my theory. You know, because I get mm-hmm. to the mall, we're probably there at like 3 or 4 o'clock. All hell had broken loose earlier than this because we couldn't figure out what to do with the family. We finally end up there and make decisions to do some laser tag at the brand new Nerf laser tag place that they got upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
Which was awesome.
Nice.
But we got in on the last round of laser tag because they're like, "Oh, yeah, we close at 6. I'm like, "What do you mean you close at 6? It's New Year's Day."
Right.
But no, it wasn't because it was New Year's Day. I looked it up. On Wednesdays, they close at 6, regardless if it's New Year's Day or not. And the entire mall is filled to capacity. Like, every single parking ramp is filled. The whole place is just bananas. And then they kick everyone out at 6. It was the most ridiculous.
Wow.
This is different than when I worked there.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It took a good 35, 40 minutes just to leave the Mall of America because the traffic jam was so terrible.
Fuck. Yeah.
Granted, I haven't worked there in 15 years, but still.
Well, like, I remember when I was a kid, granted, dinosaurs roamed the earth, but also, the first several years that the mall was open, they invited people for New Year's Eve to go see fireworks inside Camp Snoopy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's an amusement park in a mall that is big enough to support fireworks.
Yeah. Literally big enough to have a stadium inside.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was that. And
And it's not going to end there. Now they're going to put a water park, not just the Water Park of America and Great Wolf or whatever, but they're actually going to connect a water park to the Mall of America later.
Yeah. Are they going to connect it by a series of water-filled tubes? I feel like it's the right answer.
That should be the way it's done, yeah. Just go from the big blue hotel downstream.
Futurama,
right?
Style. Yeah.
Just the tunnel of love is between the mall and the water park.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought this was the tunnel of casual acquaintance. I picked the wrong... I'm in the wrong line.
Excuse me. Sir, you're by yourself. I love myself, okay?
You should love yourself.
Well, there you go.
Just not in that tube.
So... it's dark. The music was light. It was... What are you going
to... Ugh. I hope they don't have a mesh screen on that.
And then halfway through, they take the picture. You're like, shit.
I'm still buying it, but also, no. Yes, I want the keychain. speaking of great ride photos.
Oh, sweet thing.
Yeah, I'm seeing the Disney Vacation from Nick and Molly Glover.
Yes.
And they Disney bounded they were like clothing that is reminiscent or will remind you of characters, maybe, if you're familiar with
the
characters.
Disney bounding is fantastic. My wife does it all the time with us.
They but it's also like still normal enough clothing that they're not going to be like, hey, hold on, you're trying to look like these people. That's not okay.
Because they'll kick you out if you dress like a character.
They super will. they dressed Disney-bound style as Kronk and Yzma.
Nice.
So there is a Flume Ride photo of Nick as Kronk, like, raising his arms, all excited, and then Molly just, like... furious, gripping onto the bar like Yzma. Yeah,
pull the lever, wrong lever.
Yeah, that. But no, so we got the fucking table back to my place, got it all set up, and or at least like over where it needs to be set up, and then fucked off. Yeah, but it was super fun. And Bryn has been playing Pokemon, I want to say, nonstop. Other than work and...
I mean, it's usually a good idea to stop when you're working.
Work.
So, I can segue into Pokemon Go.
Yeah, please.
With what we've been doing. my wife and I were in a location where she was surrounded by Pokemon Go stops.
Oh.
And was having a great time. Mm-hmm. Because we were in the Vikings football stadium.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Because my company finally had its holiday party. Let me clarify.
Febtober Festivus. As it should be.
My company's tech department had our holiday party.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought out the Viking Stadium.
Oh.
And so 850-some-odd people plus their significant others... So, you know, 1,500 people in Viking Stadium, and they, I mean, were on the field, and they had food and booze, mm-hmm. and they had footballs, and so we were attempting to kick field goals, which, nope.
I assume
harder than it looks.
I do not have a career in football, that's for sure. My last attempt was straight at it. I feel pretty good about that. But my distance was severely lacking. I feel like I still am doing better than Anderson, though.
I get this joke.
I had to look it up. but so that was on one end of the field, and then on the other end of the field, they had more footballs that were just, you could toss them around.
Hmm.
And so my wife and I, we played some catch, and it was fun. It was a good time. But they had So there was like the entrance side, which was like where the locker rooms were and stuff like that, and we got to tour the locker rooms and the press room and stuff like that. And then we would go out and we'd walk across the field, and then on the other side of the field is where they had the actual party area, and they had food, like I said, and all the food was they had slider stations.
Oh,
nice!
So each station they were spread out, and each station made a different kind of slider. So there was like the brisket slider station, and like it was
I assume these people knew you by name by 5 minutes into this endeavor? Okay.
They didn't care about my name. They didn't. They probably.
He's back again.
Yeah. The guy with barbecue sauce dribbling down his chin. He's back. They had a oh shoot, what's it called? Where you do the mozzarella and the tomato and the basil. What's that called?
I know pizza? What you're talking about.
No. It's a little hors d'oeuvre thing.
Oh, yeah.
Caprese.
Caprese.
They had caprese sliders. And they were amazing.
That does sound fucking fantastic.
So fucking good. Slice of tomato, big slice of mozzarella, leaf on or the basil on top of that.
Mwah. Yeah.
Well, what makes that a slider instead of just caprese?
It was on bread.
Oh, okay.
It was in a tiny bun. Super, super.
Tiny bun.
But so they had these slider stations all over the place, and then in the corners they had shrimp stations, jumbo shrimp, and in the center was the bar. And when we got there and got up to the bar the first time, we realized that the company had paid for it. So the booze was a-flowing.
All right.
And it's not like the beer was free and then you had to pay for spirits. Like, no, it was paid.
Huh.
And then in one corner they had trivia, and it was kind of rolling rounds of trivia.
All right.
So like they would do one round and then there'd be a little break and then they'd do another round and then.
I would just be making laps between that and the slider station.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
So we got there. You know, we sat down. We realized that trivia was happening over there. I'm like, So
did this trivia have a theme?
Not each round.
Okay.
Did. Kind of. I'll get there. So between rounds, I wander over and I'm like, you know, tell me how this works. And they explained how it works. I'm like, cool, we'll do it. But you get each round, you have a sheet of paper. And on the front, there was the first five questions, which were general knowledge. The second set of five questions were on a theme, and that theme changed every round.
Okay.
The bottom of the sheet had a matching thing. So it was like, here's five questions and five answers and kind of match these up. And the first one was the populations of five different countries.
Oh, shit. This sounds like House of Games.
Possibly. I don't remember who they were. But
it sounds like the show. Richard Osman's.
No.
No?
No, not even close.
Okay.
But so the bottom was, and the first round that we did, it was five countries, and then below that, A, B, C, D, E, were five population numbers. And you had to match the population to the country.
Sure.
And then on the back of the sheet was a picture trivia. So the first round that we did, it was pictures, and it was television butlers.
All right.
Where it was a picture of a television butler, and you had to put the name down underneath.
All right. I feel like I could be pretty good at that.
So we sit down. We're like, oh, you know, these are pretty easy. There's Mr. Belvedere,
sure.
And there's I can't even remember who some of the other ones were at this point. But
Tony Danza.
There you go. So we looked at the populations. We kind of we figured that one out. Then the trivia starts. First question, first fucking question we've done all night. And they start, stoplights in America are ordered red, yellow, green.
Right.
Correct. And this is a standard so that people with deuteronopoly are able to tell what this is. What is another word? What is another name for this?
Fuck's sake.
And
did they accept the answer, salsa?
The look that I gave my wife, she almost fell off her chair laughing.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Because for those of you who are listening who haven't yet figured out what deuteranopia is, it's fucking colorblindness.
Yep.
Well, it's a very particular colorblindness.
Yep. And so, but it was the first fucking question.
Not on that
the
I
first trivia we did.
Need to tell
first
you.
Answer was colorblindness. And I immediately took a picture of it and sent it to Eric Thompson. Because he also is colorblind. And
the other type.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. I was like, Radley's dying. I'm just like, and we're like, we've got this.
Yep. Were all of the questions color blindness based?
No, no.
Oh, I was going to say, you've got a lock
but,
on
but
this.
But we, that first round that we played,
yeah,
out of the 20 possible, we got 19.
Wow.
Hmm.
And so we won the prize.
Woo!
Yay! Nice. We got a mug, a travel mug, mm-hmm. and a toy semi, because my company is shipping logistics.
Okay,
and so they had this little toy company. It was company swag,
right?
Yeah,
but it was this little metal semi.
I don't know about you, but I would have kept the semi on my desk, and every time I had to take a drink from the mug, I would just move like ship the mug across my desk to my hand.
But we're looking at these prizes. Okay. We got to choose which ones we wanted, and we chose those, and we're like, oh, we'll give the travel mug to my daughter.
Yeah,
because I already have one of these travel mugs at home. Mm-hmm. Because my company gives
you work
those
there.
Out. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And my daughter really liked it, so nice. I was like, oh, we'll give this one to her, and we'll give the semi to my son. You know, awesome. You know, they get something
out of
the deal. And, you know, as we're leaving that evening, we're walking out and I'm carrying this little toy truck. And apparently, in my company, these things are like a status symbol.
Oh.
Like, if you've got one of the trucks, you've got one of the trucks. Like, I had people like, I'll give you $5 for that right now. It's like... What? No, those are coveted items.
Huh.
So we gave it to my son.
Good. As it should be.
But yeah, I spent the evening, unlike the Vikings, in a football stadium.
Fuck.
I proceeded to send my brother, who's a huge Vikings fan, pictures of me having fun all night. Because he was getting angry at me by the end of it, and that's the best way.
Jeez, that's weird.
But it was a ridiculously fun time. Like, I really don't care about football at all, but just kind of getting out there and kicking a ball around.
I feel like that
playing catch and
would be like somebody that would be like your brother sending you photos of him at some historically significant circus place.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Doing a murder mystery dinner,
yeah,
or something.
Like,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Totally unrelated.
At the Barnum Museum in Florida, yeah. Just like hanging out backstage. Absolutely, it would be like that. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot of fun. There was raffle. I didn't win anything there, but they had some good stuff there. They had a wine fridge that I really coveted, and some Switches and an Xbox One and various other fun stuff.
Nice.
But, you know, it was a lot of fun. And then at 10:30, everybody left at the same time, and we realized they don't have enough valets to cover 850 employees.
No.
So we waited about 45 minutes for our car finally show up. It was a ridiculously good time to get just dressed up and look pretty and go to a really cool place.
Super
like
nice.
That. So that's what we did on Saturday.
I forgot to mention something.
Oh.
Yeah. We were having a caper to pick up a video game for Bryn, Pokemon,
yes. Right.
Sword. Because she had purchased a different game first. She had purchased Fire Emblem Three Houses, and she was getting into it, and then at one point she just sent me a message, and she was like, nope, fuck this game, I'm getting a refund. I'm gonna call him, I'm gonna ask him, and I was like, what's up, and what's going on? And she's like, so I'm using this as a form of escapism from my teaching career, and one of the major game mechanics of this game is that I have to create lesson plans for all of my all of my warriors. I have to teach them how to... I'm not doing this. Fuck this game. Right.
Sigh.
Yep. Nope.
Yeah. And beyond that, I've been directing Fearless Five, and it's going really well. We'll talk about that later.
I have created some amount of a special device.
For die laughing.
For die laughing.
Yes.
That is all I will say about it. But I am very excited.
It looks pretty
good.
Should we take a break?
Sure.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back at you in a little bit, and then we'll talk to our guests a little bit.
Yay!
I suppose.
Fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
James.
And I'm Adam.
And as promised, we're going to talk to our guest here a little bit. Yes. Adam, yay!
Hello, guest.
Yeah, tell the audience a little bit about yourself, Adam.
Well, I was going to tell you a little bit about my week since we are already going into
By
our
means.
Weeks. And it kind of loops back to that loving yourself conversation we were having earlier. I actually just got done with a book called Love Yourself Like Your Life Depended on It.
Huh.
It's a guy's name is Kamal, I believe. But it's a simple guide, not necessarily the loving yourself that you would typically talk about on this show, but...
What are you implying? Accurately, but still.
it's a simple guide for showing yourself love. And I've, with my history in physical therapy, I found it to be quite an apt guide of just self-care and self-love. I've been reading that, and I've also finished... have you heard of Brené Brown before?
No.
So Brené Brown is a PhD-level social worker. She's actually touring around with, like, Oprah and Michelle Obama and the likes of those people, and doing... she has one of the most popular TED Talks out there, and she has a few books out right now. I got done reading one of her other books that she's written, not the most recent one, but it's called Rising Strong. And that's been the Rising Strong process has been basically the story of my life recently, is just being able to fall down and be able to get back up in a different place than where you fell off of and be better for it. So I've been working a lot on that recently.
Love Yourself Like Your Dependence on It by Kamal
Ravikant. Yeah.
Yep.
That's the one.
So people can find that.
Yeah. It's a simple process. I really enjoy how he breaks it down to a simple, like the self-care piece. So in the physical therapy that I teach, I typically work a lot with people that are in a persistent pain state. And one of the things we tell them to do is to do self-care several times a day, usually in the neighborhood of usually about 10 times a day. So it gets to be every hour you're doing some self-care. But I like how this person breaks it down to like a self-love.
Doing some right under the table at the moment.
Hands, everybody.
No, I'll let him take care of that. My hands stay over here.
Anyway.
he has the self-love affirmation, basically, 10 times a day, which in and of itself would be a powerful enough tool, but he also gives more tools within the book that have been, I think they're really spot on for helping anybody that's either in a normal state, a down state, in a state where they're flying high. I think it applies to just about anybody. So I've really, it's an easy read. I sped through it in probably about 2 days, and I am not a reader, at least not anything that's not like research-based.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Other than that, spending time with the kids. They've been a lot of fun. Haley's been a little bit sick, but been working with the kids, spending time with Katie, my wife.
Excellent.
Adam is also the person in charge of the Fondazzi Fire Circus, of which you may have heard us talk about in the past.
Right.
And several times.
Indeed.
Yeah, we're actually we're going up to Detroit Lakes this weekend to perform at an ice festival.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I saw my buddy John Neas is up there carving snow the last couple days, actually.
It seems weirdly antithetical.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the whole fire and ice concept. They bring us in there. They put a bunch of ice up and say, can you melt this? And we try. We try to bring more fire and see how much we can melt. It should be a fun weekend, though.
Oh, I'm sorry, I may have missed that. How much fire?
More fire?
Oh, yeah. More fire.
Yeah. How much more is that? We don't know.
Not just an adequate amount.
No. Not even the amount that you've come to expect.
No.
Always more.
Yes.
It keeps us going.
Inside jokes. Yeah.
Get you inside work.
I mean, it.
So far.
February and winter, I'll take inside work. Right. Yeah, indeed. Do you have any other? We'll definitely, by the way, put a link to events and stuff like that for that.
Yeah.
I'm going to write myself a note right now so I don't actually forget to do it.
Yeah. We are seeing something that we have never seen before. I have never seen Salsa write anything, much less a note, much less for a podcast. I am weirded out a little, but in a positive way. No, very aroused.
Awesome.
Did you see the work that John Neas did at the St. Paul Ice Carving Festival?
Yes,
Yes.
Yeah, he got second in both competitions that he took place in for that one. Just an amazing artist.
I got to see the ice carvings with Mima when I took her to the opera. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, super, super talented. And just the level of weird art that exists in the Twin Cities that you don't realize exists until something like this happens, and you go, there's how many ice carvers around here? And the answer is many, and super, super talented ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, when I look at it, I imagine the amount of talent that it takes to actually do the actual ice carving, but to come up with the idea of, we're going to take these blocks of ice and carve them out in such a way that they look as precarious as many of those structures look.
Mm-hmm.
It's just incredible to think that they have to think about these things so many weeks and months in advance.
Well, the one that he did last year, was it last year or 2 years ago, was the most mind-numbingly insane project, but he made an ice house of cards.
Oh, yeah.
And
I saw photos. Holy
They carved
fuck.
Individual cards out of ice. And it wasn't just like flat pieces. Like every card was a card. There were face cards, and they had like detail on each card made out of ice. And it was the dark and the light were made by smooth and rough ice. So they had each card individually carved, and then they assembled a house of cards with these cards of ice. It was fucking insane. I have no idea how they did it, but they did it, and I think
slowly and carefully.
I think he won first place that year.
I mean, that seems appropriate.
If he didn't, it was a travesty. I think he did. But anyway, yeah. Hmm. A lot of fucking talent around here.
Very much so. Yeah, so he's up there now doing snow. We'll be up there this weekend doing a little bit of fire.
Yeah.
Just a little bit this time, though.
Oh.
We'll stay the night.
I don't understand.
Yeah, we'll stay the night. They got a brand new hotel.
Oh,
that we figure we check out.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Got to break it in.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be up there with the Mises. Should be a nice couples away. Yeah, more Fondazzi people.
Yep.
For those that don't really know, all the Fondazzi are basically family. So we either have families or are family, or, you know, it just all works together.
My wife is in Fondazzi.
Yep.
I used to be in Fondazzi.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we still have original members from 16 years ago.
Yeah.
I had remembered seeing you folks perform over by, and this won't make sense to, I don't know that this is going to make sense to anybody that hasn't worked at Fest, but over by
the dungeon?
B-Gate.
B-Gate,
what is the dungeon? Yeah.
So B-Gate was actually my first year with Fondazzi.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an interesting one because they failed to tell us until the night before festival opened oh, by the way, you're not on what was formerly known as Gypsy Stage, now Sherwood Stage.
Yep. They overbooked it.
You are now over there. And we said, over where? And they said, over there.
The historic village of over there.
Yeah. And there was no stage there. There was nothing. It was just a hill. Mm-hmm. And so
grass.
It was basically pirating pallets and wood from the Halloween side of things, mm-hmm. pulling it over there and constructing a stage the night before festival opened. And then we somehow got the Vardos, the gypsy wagons, over there.
You did a damn good job, though.
Yeah. That was my first year.
That was a panic night.
I wasn't involved with that personally. I showed up because I was only supposed to be a volunteer. I was never supposed to be a Fondazzi. I was just...
How's that working out for you?
Yeah exactly. Working out really good, huh?
How the tables have turned.
I was just there to support. I was there studying for my boards in between shows and then helping dip props and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it came to Chris Meese, who was the original owner, mm-hmm. said, hey, we need someone to do announcements. And I'm like, okay.
It begins.
Yeah. So how about you get up there and try that out? I'm like, all right. Well, what do you want me to say? And I'll just say whatever. And so, hopped up there. Turned out I was okay at it. But I really enjoyed doing it. And one thing led to another. And now, now the front guy and everything.
Yeah.
We eventually got off that stage, thankfully. We were only there for one season.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but there's a lot of good memories from that little stage.
So here's the thing about that little stage. They overbooked our stage, the one that we had been on.
Mm-hmm.
So they shoved us over there. And the special event green that year was out B-gate.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Yeah.
And so we started getting complaints that our audience was so big that it was blocking the path to the special event green.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was like, what do you want us to do? Have shittier shows? I mean, what you put us over here?
I think that would have been one of the years that I was out there working with my dad at during one of the Scotchtoberfest events.
Mm. So yeah, that the following year they put us back on the stage.
One nice thing about being over there though is that we were able to construct a yurt on the hill above Bakery Stage.
Oh, nice.
So we had a really nice vacation home in between shows.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, that was good times.
Mm-hmm.
That's over where the Viking encampment is.
Vikings are there now, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, yeah. Oh, geez, I suppose.
Anyway.
Now they have the yurt.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Well,
do they have a yurt over there?
Not exactly.
Yeah, I haven't actually.
They have a series of different, more Viking-y enclosures.
Oh, yeah, they actually have Viking tents.
Whatever
yeah.
happened to that yurt?
The yurt? Yeah. Chris still has it,
Does
I believe.
Does he still have it?
I think so.
Mm. I know they some constructed of the, it some, in a while. Some of those staves broke, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Anyway, what else? Fondazzi. Do you have any other shows coming up? Or
are you going to Nebraska this year?
I will be in Nebraska.
We will not
first weekend.
We will not be in Nebraska this year, but we have entered negotiations for next year.
Okay.
So we'll be. I really like that festival.
It's a fantastic festival.
Beautiful little festival over in Omaha. Great, great grounds. Very pretty, and they have peacocks. So
now, is that the Nebraska Renaissance Festival or the Renaissance Festival of Nebraska?
Renaissance Festival of Nebraska.
Okay, an important distinction.
Yeah, they also have a pirate festival on those grounds.
Yes,
because this is in the spring, and in the fall they do a pirate festival.
Mm-hmm.
And so these grounds, in addition to having the joust track and a bunch of buildings and stuff like that, they have a shipwreck.
Yeah,
and it's a fantastic stage that I get put on, and uh-huh. I love that stage. but it's a fun sight that is just kind of this little diamond in the middle of nowhere. And the first year I did it, I was like, I don't know, I'm going to do this little festival. Holy shit, what is this place? It is the closest festival to the Minnesota type,
mm-hmm.
You know, actual village. Well, most of the other festivals are in a park or in something, in a little pop-up, but this is an actual dedicated site. Huh. So they've got a lot of really fun stuff. I love that site.
I always thought that I should visit other festivals.
Yes, you should.
You should probably go check out Bristol. That is a beautiful, beautiful festival.
Huh.
The only problem I have with Bristol is it because it partially overlaps Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
It starts before Minnesota, but then it overlaps, and that's the weeks when Bristol is going on are the weeks that we're getting ready for Minnesota.
Right. I have to be building a yurt with my accomplices. Right.
Setting up, getting stages cleared off and stuff like that. I would love to do Bristol some year, but that's during stage cleanup and tent setup and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I've only been there. I only visited there once. It was a few years back. But I mean, yeah, because it happens before Minnesota, it's in July.
Yeah.
Which... July in Chicago area is not very comfortable.
No.
And I got to experience what patrons experience, which is you have nowhere to go and hide when it is really hot. And yeah, at the time the kids were much smaller and it was definitely a
pretty
brutal experience trying to cool the kids down, get enough food. Mm. Can you sit for this stage act? And no, and then you're off to another one. But I mean, it is a great place. It's just really hot.
Yeah. What Douglas Adams described as frying goat air.
Mm-hmm. Gross? Okay.
Yeah.
They have, I don't know if they still do. I imagine they still do. They have characters that are kind of fairy nymph characters that roam around the grounds that have very ornately painted faces. So they don't talk either. They're all just... physical beings.
Mime.
Yeah, and it was one hilarious instant that happened there. Shane, probably about 3 at the time, really good at running, had to go to the bathroom. And so we were running across the grounds to go to the bathroom, which are plumbed indoors, which is kind of a nice little treat when you're at a festival. Yeah.
I have mixed feelings.
It's nice. Yeah. It's nice because it's a little cooler. But yeah, we're just like flying, running through these grounds. And all of a sudden there was a nymph that was hanging out like in the shrubbery and just popped out just a little bit. And he hit the brakes so hard. He skidded to a stop like cartoon style for like 3 feet on his heels and then landed on his butt and just stared at this thing. Like, I don't even know what to do.
I don't need to go bathroom anymore.
Well, I still do, but it's really more of a cleanup. Yeah.
There's plumbing in Nebraska, too.
There is plumbing in Nebraska, yeah. Great place.
Well, like, I was in the...
I like doing festivals with plumbing.
I was in the platform and my first year on entertainment, and my fellow fencing boothies were like, oh, you're going to go take a shower, huh? Mr. Entertainment, gonna go shower with the rest of the entertainers, huh? I like grabbed the shower in a box and I'm like swabbing myself. No, I am all booth.
Also, taking a shower at the end of a festival day is amazing.
Oh, it is. I'm sure.
That's why I sleep at my house.
Yeah,
but that's why I sleep at his house too.
That's, nobody's sleeping.
Oh, no, did you not know?
You're more than welcome.
It's very kind.
What other new things does Fondazzi have going on this year? Do we have any sneak previews or spoilers?
Our musicians are working on new stuff. Alan recently gave us a taste of
the guitarist.
Yeah, he recently gave us a taste of a new piece. And so... within the next month or two, we'll be heading into choreography season and creating new things. And there was also some projects from last year that got to a point that it was like, these would be good, but they're not quite there yet. They're not quite at the standard that we needed them. And honestly, they just didn't have enough fire to them. So we'll be taking a few of those.
Because Fondazzi is not all about adequate fire.
How much fire did they need?
Just a little bit more.
Just
more, a little bit.
More fire.
So we'll be taking some of those and modifying them a little bit to add more fire to them.
Oh.
When in doubt, that seems like the correct amount. That's kind of where we go.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's like, what do we need to do? Well, how about we just take that and add more fire?
I mean, you found your niche.
We really did. And that was a great little thing. I mean, the audience requested that, and it was easy to kind of keep going back to it. Hasn't gotten old yet.
Fair enough.
And you guys hate doing it too so much.
Well, the one thing we realize when we're on the road is just how nice it is to be at Minnesota. And we will be back at Minnesota as well.
Nice.
We've already started those conversations. But having the stage that we have just allows us to push the amount of fire that we have because we have so many safety mechanisms in place, backstage, on stage, in front. And it makes it so we can really expand what we're doing safely. But when we go on the road, you know, you get to a new festival and you're looking around and you're trying to figure out, is it really safe for us to be doing what we do in this space? And it is most of the time. We've had some shows like backyard shows in Minneapolis where it's like, man, this is tight quarters.
Ooh,
but
really pushing the edges of the safety there.
That's right.
But
it all works out. We modify.
For a short period of time, the company motto becomes slightly less fire.
Well, if no one's ever seen the show before, then, you know, it's always more fire to them.
I suppose.
I think it could be interesting to talk about the safety, because like you said, people don't realize just how much is
right
actually going on, like backstage at a Fondazzi show, because it is a lot.
Well, some of the new numbers. So Brett Piasek is our one of our Guinness World Record holders, and he's also our titled safety commander. Him and I are both kind of technical advisors. So Katie and Brett will come up with the choreography. And then I come up with the, okay, great choreography, but will this kill us attitude towards
important
this?
Question. I mean, that's a reasonable question to ask.
And we choreographed an entire piece last year and got to the point of like, okay, this is well choreographed. I like where this is going. We've never done anything like this before. And then we get to the end and it dawns on me, before we light it on fire, thankfully, it dawns on me of like, how in the world are we going to put all of this fire out? Because all of a sudden we have six double staves and six normal staves all on stage on fire at the same time. And we have a lot of fire extinguishing capabilities because we got a bunch of CO2 fire extinguishers backstage. We got these special boxes that we build that put the fire out for us. But we just don't quite have the capacity for that much. Thankfully, we had an old firebox hidden underneath the stage at Sherwood Stage. So we pulled that guy out and pulled it out of retirement, dusted off the leaves. And we were able to use that only for that number because that was the only number that required that amount of extinguishing power. But yeah, as far as like what we have going on, we got 15-pound CO2 extinguisher, a 10-pound, a 5-pound CO2. So CO2 are different than your standard ABCs that you see everywhere else. You can use them over and over and over again, and it just goes off the premise of take away the oxygen, the fire goes away. And plus, you don't make a mess with a whole bunch of chemicals flying through the air.
Yeah.
And water is not a good solution for the type of fire that we use. But we do have water extinguishers backstage as well.
Just in case.
Yep. And then, like I mentioned,
it is a wooden stage, after all.
It is a wooden stage. And so the water does come in handy if you need it for that.
Yeah.
But then the boxes were a really great creation that Chris came up with, I believe. And so they're...
Yeah, we've had those boxes for...
Well, the original one
over
is a good...
a decade now.
It's about 10 years old, yeah. And it was made out of OSB, put together like a cabinet, and it has compartments in it. So you're not having too big of a space for that fire to eat up the oxygen in. So you got staff-shaped compartments, some for the poi, and then some for the oblong-shaped props as well.
And they're lined with tile.
The original was lined with tile, which made it excessively heavy. The second one we made, we used truck bed liner on the inside, cut the weight, and also was fire retardant. And so,
do you have to renew that occasionally? Like, really?
Well, oh, wow. They go out pretty quick.
They go out. They don't stay lit for very long because the size of the container is really just big enough to put the props in. So I think 3 or 4 staves will fit in the main compartment. Hmm. You slam the lid and it's out within about 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Hmm. Which allows us the fast turnover time that we have on
stage.
Sure. Because the last thing you want is active fire backstage.
No.
So we want those things to go out. We also have really big trash cans, metal trash cans, which was a nice addition to the fire extinguishing process, but was not something we planned on getting. That actually happened in Nebraska. Did you know about that one, Salsa?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I heard about this.
So we found ourselves in Nebraska with less than adequate amount of CO2, and we needed ways to put out the big snake poise that we have.
Okay.
So those are the really long, massive poi that are on fire. And it just kind of dawned on me, thinking of like when people have cigarette butt cans, that I've seen those made out of those small metal trash cans. And yeah. I was like, you know, metal trash can might work pretty good. And it's amazing because the amount of fire that's on a snake poi, you toss them into the metal trash can, throw the lid on it. It sucks the oxygen out of the trash can so fast and hard that it actually pulls the sides of the trash can in.
Yeah.
And then it pops.
It implodes.
Those things are out in about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
They're incredible. So we actually have 4 of those now. We actually needed to get...
Oh, you have 4? Oh, wow.
Yeah, we had to get another set for a Christmas party, a holiday party that we did in Minneapolis for a company.
It was at the Viking Stadium.
Oh, is that what was going on over there?
We wanted a way that we could put everything out and not have to open the lids again.
Okay.
Because we were indoors.
Yeah.
Because once you open the lids, all the gross smoke is happening.
Yeah, sure. Those things smoke up a storm.
Yeah.
But it is. It is. I honestly feel like watching what happens backstage during a show almost as compelling as what's happening on stage.
Yeah, it's a very different show.
Such a ballet. Mm-hmm. It is an absolute ballet watching because you've got the people on the stage and then you've got somebody backstage. There's always at least one person watching the stage to make sure that if anything does go wrong, they can instantly react with fire extinguishers or whatever it is. So you've got that. Then you've got the rest of the people that are prepping the next props to go out. And then you've got some numbers with multiple waves of props. So you've got people coming off the stage, more people going on the stage, they're extinguishing props, they're lighting new props. It's this amazingly choreographed thing that nobody sees.
Right. There's as much choreography behind the scenes as there is on the stage.
It is so cool watching.
Everyone has their job when it comes to what number is on stage, how is that thing going out, what's coming on next, how does that light... And the whole premise is that the audience never knows. And all they see is the fact that essentially fire never truly goes out. As soon as one fire prop is leaving the stage, there's another one coming on within at least 5 seconds. It's kind of that magic number so that the audience never feels like they're without fire. And so there's never, if you notice, there's never a prop that goes out on stage unless we're eating fire.
Sure.
Otherwise, a prop never extinguishes itself on stage. It always goes off the stage lit.
I did not realize that, but I'm realizing it now. Yeah.
Yep. That's part of the choreography is making sure that the burn time of that prop is not exceeded by the choreography of that song.
Our musicians always write the songs at a certain length so that they will not, they won't exceed the burn time. And if they do, then we have to add more props if the songs are longer.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a few that have more props that are coming on and off at this point. Yeah. But more of those songs will happen.
It's so cool. That is extremely cool. So do you have different choreographed sets each day, different shows through the course of the day? For example, at MNRF, if somebody sees you perform every show that you do that day and tip you extremely well, because that's what you should do if you go and see a show and enjoy it.
Right.
If they were to do that, would they see a different show every time?
Yeah. So last year we got to the point with all the new music that was created in the off season that I think there was only two or three numbers that were ever repeated throughout the day.
Oh, wow.
And even so much that the Uber show, the last show of the day, most of the things that you would see in that show, you wouldn't have necessarily seen throughout the day. And if you did, they were modified to up the fire level in the Uber show. So there was never anything that was repeated. You know, we like what the Danger Committee does, how they're able to name each show a little bit different, because they got the Ninja show and they got the Danger show or the Fire show and things like that. And we're looking in the future, too, to find ways that we can make those differences in the show more obvious to the consumer.
Sure.
But we haven't quite landed on what that will look like. But we want to find ways that will make it interesting and draw people back show after show.
So if there's something that they especially liked, I mean, all of the shows are going to be good, but if there's one show that has something that they really want to see again or want to drag their friends to.
Right. If they go, oh, I want to see that one that has the whips in it, that they know which one they're going to go to.
You have my attention.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that is something that we're looking towards for the future and for our development, is getting that. Part of that, too, is the music, to have each show have its own type of feel.
Mm-hmm.
And we pay as much attention to that in choreographing the sets of the shows as well, as to how the show starts out with really high energy, gets the audience drawn in, and then it calms down a little bit, and then it ramps up to the end and kind of that furious ending that we always have.
It's like making a mixtape.
Exactly.
For your beloved audience.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And all these things have been trial and error, and just every time we do a show, we evaluate how did that go with the audience and come back and tweak it a little bit. Mm-hmm. There's been years, too, that we never even repeated any shows. We'd be writing the show in the morning, and then the next day we'd be rearranging things because certain things didn't work. And yep. But now, like last year, they're pretty solid. We had five solid shows that were all pretty different, and we didn't have to mix them up too much. So we got pretty consistent, which really helped with the backstage choreography as well. We'd switch it up every once in a while, so you just are always on your toes and never want to get complacent when fire's involved.
No. Yeah. That seems like great advice. Dang. All right. No, that sounds fantastic, and we'll link to, as Salsa said, your set list, Detroit Lakes,
and we'll throw the website
events that are coming up. Yeah,
FondozzyFire.com.
And if they really like your stuff, are there links on your site where they can buy all kinds of
CDs,
fire-related merchandise?
A lot of the music is available for purchase on like iTunes. I don't think we have a product page on the website. We mostly sell things at our shows.
Sure.
Last year a couple years ago, we got into the t-shirts, and we got a few different kinds of t-shirts, CDs, one DVD. Next year we should have a brand new CD as well, of all that new music that came out last year that people were hearing.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite things about doing comedy down in that corner is getting to tell dad jokes with your music in the background, in the distance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Closing thoughts, Adam?
I have no closing thoughts, no.
Cool. All right, well, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come right back, and then we'll do what...
Give me a break.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
What
break me off a piece of that podcast.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Adam.
All right. You know what we got going on. What is it, James?
Fast Five.
That's true. We got a Fast Five. For those who don't know, and Adam, in case you don't know, what a Fast Five is you. That's right, you, the dear listener, send us two emails. The first one contains nothing but five choices. What do these choices mean? We don't know. We just have to pick one and then argue about why we think it's the right answer. And it's only after we have made our five choices that we open the second email and find out
who is right and
no,
who is dead.
No, we don't actually find out that if anyone's, because nobody's ever died, James. Ever.
I mean, some people do.
Ever.
It's sad.
No, ever.
Oh.
Ever. They just go to a farm upstate.
Oh, that's right. We haven't told him.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Edward Monkeybutt.
Yay. Oh, it's been so long.
It's been so long since the monkey butt.
Aw.
It says, hi from Mrs. Mudd. Woo!
Aw.
Yay,
Mrs. Mudd.
Yep, no other preamble. We go right into this. Question number one. My Little Pony.
Okay.
Or the Care Bears.
Oh,
it is okay. A good thing Jenna's not here right now.
No. Yeah. She would not like that question.
I'm going with My Little Pony.
I'm going to say My Little Pony also because my sister was super into them, and that was a cartoon that was on a lot.
So I have been watching with my daughter the new My Little Pony.
Right.
And they're really good.
Yeah, it is.
Like, a lot of those shows that have been remounted for the newest generation, like My Little Pony and
She-Ra.
Obviously She-Ra, have been really, really well done.
Yeah.
All naysayers aside, because they're idiots. But anyway, that's why I'm going with My Little Pony. Adam?
I really don't have much experience when it comes to My Little Pony, honestly, so I would to go with Care Bears, because, honestly, I dig anything that has bears in it.
All right.
Anytime you're taking a ferocious killing machine and making it into a lovable stuffed animal, that seems like the way to go.
See, I honestly, if it was the Care Cousins, this would be a lot harder for me. I always liked the Care Cousins more.
Fair enough. With the lion and the elephant and
exactly. Question number two. Ooh, Teddy Ruxpin or Furby?
Again, things that freak out Jenna.
Again, good thing she's
right.
Not
yeah,
here.
Yeah. Teddy Ruxpin. I played with a couple of those that friends had, and they didn't freak me out. But Furbies, I don't.
They remind me too much of Gremlins.
I see. My sister had a not widget. God damn it. I'm
Tamagotchi
at this time. No, it's the main gremlin from the movie Gremlin. It's like Sprocket or it's something really cute like that.
Gizmo.
That's what I was trying to think of. She had a little plastic gizmo, and it's basically Baby Yoda with cow spots.
But that's the thing with the Furby though, is it reminded me of Gizmo, but was slightly creepier.
Yeah, there's something
like
really
weird. If it was a gizmo, I'd be fine with it, but it's like gizmo, but wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Teddy Ruxpin.
Didn't that also have like the capability of like playing back cassette tapes as well?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he had a player in it. Yeah, I would go with Teddy Ruxpin as well. I mean, I dig anything that's like the original of combining technologies, or in this case, a stuffed animal with an audio player.
And going back to
again,
the teddy bear.
A bear.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, bears.
Yeah.
So the best thing was putting like a metal album in a Teddy Ruxpin.
Oh, man. And the eyes and mouth would move?
Yeah.
Whoa. Now I just want to see that.
All right, question number three. Rainbow Bright or Strawberry Shortcake? Ooh, I always liked Rainbow Bright more. Strawberry Shortcake was always too frumpy? Not
frowsy?
Yeah. It was slightly older animation and
sure.
I guess I can't really put my whereas Rainbow Bright was this like edgy, like, you know, she had like she was like not a rock star, but she had kind of that rock star vibe.
Right, and yeah.
Very like, yeah, fun.
Halfway between Strawberry Shortcake and Gem in the Holograms is Rainbow Bright.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
Exactly. It was, yeah. It was,
I feel like you could bring that back today as well. Rainbow Bright would still, absolutely. Still
oh,
hit.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I would say Rainbow Bright because, again, out of the toys in the toy box at my house, Rainbow Bright. Mm-hmm. Was there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I third that.
Okay. Question number four. Snuffleupagus.
Ooh.
Or Oscar the Grouch.
I really liked the I Love Trash song, but Snuffy was my jam.
I'm going with Oscar. Snuffy was just depressing, whereas Oscar was just like, I'm gonna insult you and you're gonna laugh.
Here's the weird thing about Snuffleupagus is that originally the plan was for it to be just Bird's imaginary friend.
And it was for the longest
right?
time.
But then when there were concerns that it... When the idea had to be that if you tell people something that is true, that they will believe you, especially in an era when... People were finding out that grown-ups were touching children at an alarming rate. That it was important for children to be able to tell people things that were important and be believed.
Yeah.
That was when they decided that Snuffy was a real Muppet, you know, like existed for real canonically in Sesame Street and was not just Bird's imaginary friend. And that's amazing. Like, Oscar's fucking awesome. And also, Slimy the Worm is one of my favorite Muppets of all time.
I forgot about Slimy. Yeah.
But, but Oscar is trash royalty.
He was just counterculture.
Yeah.
In a
can.
Toddler way.
Oh,
in a metal, in a metal can. Maybe that was my first love with the metal can and brought back later for Fondazzi.
Every time you open up one of those cans to snuff something, I love fire.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to go with Oscar.
All right.
Fair enough.
I'm
going to stick with Snuffy.
Okay. Question number five. Cabbage Patch Kid or Tickle Me Elmo?
Cabbage Patch Kids.
I would go with Cabbage Patch just because I never liked the whole Tickle Me Elmo craze.
Neither did I. No. Yeah, I'm going with Cabbage Patch as
I was
well.
The wrong age for it anyway, but...
Do you remember the Garbage Pail Kids?
Yeah, yes, I thought that's what you were going to say. Garbage Pail Kids, hands down, Garbage Pail.
Yeah. I also remember that for a while, Cabbage Patch Kids were issued with copies of real, authentic birth certificates.
Yeah.
Waiting for you to fill them in. And they were effectively legally admissible documents. So... People used them.
I did not know that.
There was a whole thing. They had to stop. They had to start making ones that were very obviously not real birth certificates.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Well, that's the thing I learned today.
So I'm going to go Cabbage Patch Kids.
All right. We're opening up the second email. And let me see. We have the first one, My Little Pony or the Care Bears.
Okay.
Which would you go into Mordor with? I think I gotta switch to Care Bears on this one.
Well, yeah, because the Care Bears had more special powers, right?
Yeah, they're more militant.
Yeah. So they'd have more uses if you're going into Mordor.
Yeah. They, like... they have a concerted ability that they, like a phalanx
they,
of
yeah,
good feelings.
Yeah, they get into phalanx,
yeah.
And then they do the Care Bear stare thing and shoot rainbow happiness at the bad guys. And
yeah.
Yeah, I think I got to go with that one.
Huh.
All right. Question number two. Teddy Ruxpin or Furby?
Okay.
Which is the creepier talking toy?
Oh.
Switching to Furby.
Furby. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three. Rainbow Bright or Strawberry Shortcake?
Okay.
Which would make a better live action movie? I'm sticking with Rainbow Bright.
Adam, the reboot, I think you hit that on the head.
Absolutely.
Dang.
Yeah. Wow. Definitely.
Yeah. I would watch that.
Question number four, Snuffleupagus or Oscar the Grouch? Which would make a better Mr. Potato Head?
Oh, sure. Like, if they made that into just, like, a blank face that you could stick different expressions into.
I switch to Snuffy on this one.
Yeah, imagine all, like, the different trunks and the all of the accessories and that kind of stuff. Oscar, you wouldn't even change the mouth. He would just always look kind of...
Yeah.
He'd always be angry.
Yeah. What an amazing product that would be, though. They sell it's the blank face, but it just comes with one expression. Or two expressions, there's angry and sarcastic.
Yeah. All right. And question number five, Cabbage Patch Kid or Tickle Me Elmo?
Mm-hmm.
Which, Adam, which would you rather set fire to?
Oh, hey. Well.
Yeah, it would definitely be the Tickle Me Elmo.
Switching to Elmo.
I have problems with both. But I'm going to say I have seen a Tickle Me Elmo get lit on fire, and it thinks that it's being tickled.
Oh.
So it...
dies in the creepiest way possible?
Yes.
That's so satisfying.
I don't want that.
It would be very demonic.
It is. It's extraordinarily troubling.
So you're...
I'm sticking with Cabbage Patch.
All right.
As sad as that is.
All right. Anyway, thank you so much for the Fast Five. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast. Again, the rules are put the five choices in the first email. In the second email, repeat those choices and then give us the context. James,
yes.
Do you have a shout out?
I do. As a matter of fact, I have a shout out to the booth. As I have many times, but something bad happened. I won't go into it, but something bad happened, and the fencing booth, which has been an institution for 30 years, and more than that. Oh, shit. It's been an institution for effectively as long as the festival has been there. It was in danger, and we could still use your help. There will be a fundraiser. I will send the link to Salsa.
I can find it.
If you can chip in $5, awesome. Any amount will help us to keep the booth, continue the tradition. This is like a one-time get out of jail free kind of thing, but. And not like every year we're going to need, but
sure.
Okay. So people know how important the booth is to me.
What?
like I said, I talk about it constantly.
Yeah.
I would love to see that keep going and to continue to have that as my home.
All right.
So.
I am going to give my shout out to J-Lo and Shakira.
Sure.
I did not watch the Super Bowl.
I am just so shocked.
I know, right? But, I have seen clips of the halftime show and
but
all
it's
you...
the Stanley Cup of football.
All you... Exactly. and all you naysayers can go fuck yourself because they put on an amazing show and yeah. Mm-hmm. Enough said.
Somebody pointed out that Shakira is effectively wearing exactly the same thing as her cartoon counterpart from Zootopia. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was just watching that one today.
Yeah.
Adam, do you have a shout out?
I don't necessarily have a shout out for anything in particular. I think, like we were talking about earlier, just any of the artists out there that are doing what they love to do, definitely shout out to them that they're following their passions and encourage everyone to keep doing the things that bring them joy and that they find as their passion.
Nice.
Good one. All right. Who's got something to plug?
Oh, dang. Yeah.
All right.
Should
we go just straight into Fearless Five?
I'll let you plug Fearless Five.
Okay.
In the middle of February is going to be the amateur show for Vilification Tennis. And it would mean a whole lot if you would come out and see the person that I coached and all of the other amateurs and cheer them on. They will need it. We're complete assholes for making the audition process a 2-hour show live in front of a packed house, but it helps a lot if the audience is there to support them and to encourage them. They will absolutely need it because we are 100% jerks.
Mm-hmm.
So come out and see that. Tickets do sell out every year, and they sell out quickly. So as soon as they are available, go and get them. It is also a hell of a show.
As mentioned, Fearless Five is coming up. James wrote one of those shows. I am directing one of those shows.
The gasp.
That is going to be February 21st, 22nd, 28th, 29th, and March 6th and 7th. That is Fearless Five. Really, really, really good show. I'm not just saying that because I'm directing one of them, but the scripts are fun. The actors are fantastic. It's going to be a good time. I also want to mention the Polar Plunge.
Yeah.
Woo.
That as James and I are doing again. Remember, we need to hit our $75 minimum in order to plunge. I am sitting at $20.10.
Mm-hmm.
James is sitting at $30.96.
Yes.
So we need...
But we do need more.
We need your love, and more specifically, we need your money. And when I say we, I mean the Special Olympics of Minnesota need your money.
Because sincerely good cause.
Fantastic cause, and then we do stupid, stupid things in the name of that good cause.
Jump into... freezing water.
Fucking cold year this
very
year.
Cold.
Yes.
So it'll be hilarious. I will be posting a link to that again. Please, please give those donations. Don't wait until the last minute. Do that.
Mm-hmm. And if you've already donated, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Please do feel free to share that when it does come up. If you have already donated or if you just don't have the cash to kick around right now, that's okay. We appreciate the publicity.
I will also be performing at Mondo Juggle Fest. As mentioned, I will be performing at the Renegade Show on the 14th of February, and I will be performing in the Spectacular on the 15th of February. So if you're going to Mondo...
What a lovely Valentine's gift.
I know, right? Very nice. You should probably go see those, because Mondo is awesome, and the show is fucking amazing. So... not just me. Like, I am the bottom rung of some of the performers they have out that are going to be there.
They're actually going to be putting all of them onto one big ladder that balances.
I know. It's and Salsa amazing
is
how they
at
fit
the
us
bottom.
But it is, the fantastic performers from literally all over the globe will be performing there.
It's not even a comment on his talent. It's a comment on the way that he smells.
Also that. Those are all good things. Do you have something to plug?
Anyone who's interested in their fulfilling their fire needs can find us at fondazifire.com.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I am also available as a physical therapist and health coach with Ignite Physical Therapy and Wellness, specializing in basically treating the hard to treat, the persistent pains, those chronic pains, those things that you've tried everything else and they just won't go away. That is typically where I find myself to be most effective when it comes to physical therapy and just health optimization and improvement. So anybody who maybe is even wondering, is physical therapy right for them, or is their problem something that can be helped, can request free consultation on ignitepTMN.com and can hook up with me there.
Yep. I'm not just Adam's friend. I am also one of his customers.
True.
Is that because you're a persistent pain?
It's because I, as you may be aware, Festies tend to be very abusive of their bodies.
Really? They've never said anything to me. or anyone in earshot.
Yeah. No, I've banged myself a few times, and
it's always self love is important.
It's true.
That's right.
anything else? Anybody?
No.
Good. All right. In that case, thank you so very much for listening to this episode, everyone. Thank you to Mrs. Mudd for that fast five.
Yay, Mrs. Mudd.
Thank you to Adam for graciously stepping in to guest host.
Thanks for having me.
And as always, eat the fucking cake.
Bye bye, love you, bye bye.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.